When ordinary people meet an amazing God, this is part 7, Joshua, second week on Joshua. The Word of God and the successful life. The text tonight is Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to look at the first 9 verses. Most of the study will center in, you'll see, on the 8th. But I'm going to start with 1 to 9. Joshua, as most of you know, comes on the scene after the death of Moses. Moses led the people up to the very edge of the promised land, and he wasn't allowed to go in. Anybody remember why he wasn't allowed to go in? It wasn't a big thing. It didn't seem like he was to speak to the rock as he did the first time, and water would come out from the rock, and instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. God was still very gracious. Water came forth from the rock. The people had water. And what Moses did is he just did what all of us do. He just learned how to do things and then relied on his past experience rather than listening to the Lord. And it wasn't like he was turned into a pillar of salt. There was no brutal punishment. The people got water, and then God said to Moses, I need someone. Listen. There's a lot ahead for these people. I need someone who really, really listens to me. Oh, man. I need someone who really listens carefully to everything I say. I need someone that doesn't just assume he or she knows what they're doing. Now, look, I love the fact that Sunday night, like, I'm one of the old people here. It's a pretty young crowd. I just love that. And the best thing I could say to all of you, if you're here and you're in your 20s and your 30s, or goodness, I never thought I'd think this was young, your early 40s. Let me just say to you, the most important thing I can tell you is, you want your life to count for Jesus, you don't have to be brilliant, you don't have to be a superstar, you don't have to be stunningly good looking. You have to be the kind of person that just really, really listens to the Lord. And Moses, I need someone who's going to really listen. You're not taking these people into the promised land. And so Joshua rises up to take Moses' place. That's where we are. That didn't count. Now I'm starting if you want to time me. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Isn't it wonderful when you look back and you see God's presence in someone else's life? You don't have to go all the way back to Moses, but you can if you want. You think, oh, if only God worked in my life like that. And here you have God, the generations are passing. And God says, don't think that I just was going to be there for Moses. Just like I was with him, I'll be with you. And just like I was with Joshua, I'll be with you. And I'll be with you. Make sure you listen to what I say. Still in verse 5, I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. That's twice. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. You think of the psalmist, don't you? It'd be like a tree planted by rivers of water. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And here's Joshua. Moses is dead. Moses never did go into the promised land. And God says to Joshua, you be careful. Be careful about how you hear me. And I bet you anything Joshua's mind just went to Moses. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. That's the third time. Strong and courageous. Courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and very courageous. It's interesting to me. I'm going to talk about it later on, but just in case I forget, because it's not in your notes. It's interesting to me that God tells Joshua in advance, there's all sorts of enemies in the land that still have to be disposed. Okay? The promised land is not just lying there empty, uninhabited for the taking. It's occupied by people, and Joshua will have to drive them and all of their gods and all of their idols out. And God says to him, in advance, everywhere you put your foot, I'm with you. God tells Joshua, in advance, nobody will be able to stand against you. And then three times, you need to be very courageous. And what it makes me wonder is, why, if there's not going to be a single foe who will be able to stand against Joshua and his armies, and God's already promised him that, it seems like a done deal. Why does Joshua need three times in nine verses to be told to be courageous? I'll tell you why. We'll look at it later on. Because Joshua is going to lead a large group of people. And it takes incredible courage to take a large group of people and to insist that they obey the Lord when they don't feel like obeying the Lord. It takes incredible courage when you feel like you might be the only voice. This word of the law should be in your mouth. You know what it's like to say what God says when nobody wants to hear it? And you know how much of the church has closed its mouth on so many things because they know in advance that the world is not going to like the message? And so God says to Joshua, if you want to be effective for me, the Canaanites aren't your problem. You need incredible courage not to depart from my law, not to the right, not to the left. Joshua, as you lead these people, you stick right down my revelation and don't you budge from it one inch. And it takes incredible courage to do that. It still does in a university class. Incredible courage. A college setting. The only person at work. The only Christian in the home. I mean, who knows the settings in a room like this? You be courageous. Be strong and of good courage. We're obviously meant to take note of those instructions because they're repeated three times in the space of four verses. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. So the real question then is, how is Joshua supposed to do this? These aren't easy times. Changes and confusion abound. Consider this, Joshua is a brand new leader. He's entering a brand new land they've never been, at least not to take possession of it. A new environment. A new generation. Remember, the old generation wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until they died off. Do you remember? Do you remember why it was 40 years? Why they had to wander specifically for 40 years was because The 12 spies went into the land and they stayed there 40 days. And 10 spies came back and said, we can't take this land. And God said, for every day that you were in spying the land and you came back and denied that we could do it, you'll be a year in the wilderness. And a whole generation dies off. So there's Joshua. New generation, new land, new leader, new environment, new situation. So mistakes are just waiting to happen. People in churches, God's people, they don't like change. In this place, the only people that like change are the babies in the nursery. Nobody else is crazy about change. And Joshua has got an assignment that's full of change. Everything's new, everything's uncertain. What does Joshua give him to help him with his task? How will he be of strong and of good courage? Well, he isn't left in the dark. And here's what we're going to be studying quickly now. One verse. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Here's the three steps. One, Joshua must keep the word in his mouth, which is really strange. It's not what I would have expected to read. We would expect him to be told that he needs to keep the word in his heart. Thy word, David writes, have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Surely that's what Joshua should do. That's what God meant, obviously. But it isn't. The text means that Joshua is to talk about the will and way of God. He has a people, and the people don't have any written text. There's no Bible. How will the people know the commandments of Moses, specifically the commandments of Moses, but the word of God and the will of God? How will the people know? It's very easy for people in a situation like that just to lose sight of that word from the Lord. And so these words are for Joshua. These words shall be on your mouth. But they're not just for Joshua. It's for the collective good of all the people that he will lead. Joshua, Moses is dead. It is your job, in all of this newness and everything that's happening, it is your job to make sure the people keep the main thing the main thing. Joshua has the responsibility of making sure that the people don't get to the place where they just love God in general or love God theoretically. But when push comes to shove, they set the terms of how they will make their decisions and live their lives. And so Joshua, no, on your lips, you tell the people. I mean, we all want to be holy in theory. The key thing is wanting to be holy when you have an idea of what you really would like to do and God's word comes barreling down the tracks like an express train and just says, no. I know you'd like to do that. I know you think this, but here's my word. So the key issue here for Joshua is making sure that neither he nor anyone else loses sight of something once it's been learned and heard. That's relevant for all of us. The only thing harder than finding the truth is not losing it. The only thing harder than finding the truth is not losing it. And Joshua, the leader, was to ensure that this didn't happen. And we should pay attention to this, because the instructions to Joshua as leader are very similar to those given to parents. We read the text on Sunday, and for very similar reasons. You know these words. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Deuteronomy 6:4-9. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. So as leader, Joshua had the responsibility to keep God's authoritative commands right in the front of people's minds when there were no books, no written text to contain all of this yet. They were to hear the word of God from Joshua regularly. Joshua, don't come to the place where you think your success depends on your brilliance. It doesn't. Your success depends on the capacity to keep my words in the front of your head and on your lips and in the minds of the people. And as I mentioned before, notice the way God warns Joshua in advance that this is not an easy assignment. Conquering the Canaanites is easy compared to constantly reminding people of what God's word says. And he's told very specifically that the call to hold any group collectively right around the word of God is like a call to herd cats. And it's hard to do. And God tells Joshua he's going to need to summon courage every day of his life. Verse 7, only be very strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And it takes courage because people don't like being reminded of God's word when they're not in church. This is okay. This is what's supposed to happen. Go ahead, Pastor. Preach to us. We have nothing else to do for the next half hour but listen. But it takes courage to proclaim God's word in a situation like Joshua's, when people are more inclined to go with the will of the crowd. Because then people like you and people like me, we like to pretend that we are doing God's will, and we don't need to be reminded of it right now. Thank you very much, Mr. Holier Than Thou. And so God says to Joshua, this call that I'm giving you to keep my laws on your mouth and stick it right in the face of the people, it's going to take a lot of courage, Joshua. It's going to take a lot of courage. You can see later on in the book just how faithfully Joshua took this task to hand. Let me just read to you Joshua 8:33-35. And all Israel, sojourner as well as native born, with their elders and officers and their judges, stood on opposite sides of the ark before the Levitical priests, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, half of them in front of Mount Gerizim, half of them in front of Mount Ebal. I referred to this a few Sunday mornings ago. Just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at first to bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel. And the women and the little ones, no children's church, no supervised nursery, and the visitors, the sojourners who lived among them. Not just the Ten Commandments, everything, all the laws. Have you been going through the church reading program? Gone through Leviticus lately? Only you get it in little bites. This is Joshua. He says, there is I've got the instructions, and there's no way I'm going to miss anything, even by accident. And he gets the whole nation, the kids, the moms, the families, the leaders, governors, and they all sit there, and from these mountains, everybody just sit there. We're going over the whole thing. You don't have copies of it, mind you. No iPads, just to scratch out notes. You just sit there in the blazing sun, and we're going to read everything, and don't you miss a word of it. You know, and you think, well, no wonder God told him it was going to take courage to do this kind of thing. Point number two. So first, he must keep the word in his mouth. Second, he must meditate on the word. The text actually says in verse 8 that he must meditate on the word day and night. Day and night. So Joshua, if he's going to be successful, have good success, the way the text described it, he has to resist the temptation to limit God's word and the authority of God's word and the power of God's word. He can't just limit it to the religious settings in which he finds himself. Prayer meeting, Bible study, for Joshua the tabernacle. He has to meditate on God's word. The text says day and night. When he was in the tabernacle, when he wasn't. When he was in a crisis, a military crisis, and when there was no crisis. When it was popular, and when it wasn't popular. And make no mistake, Joshua was around. Joshua was around when he heard the whole nation grumbling to Moses and Aaron. Why in the world did you lead us out of Egypt? Was this your plan, just to have us all die in the wilderness? Joshua's seen it all. He's seen it all. And he knows that people sometimes love to sing songs and raise their hands and get blessed. And sometimes they just think, well, you just let me go home. When it was popular, when it wasn't, when he felt inspired and when he didn't. So, day and night. Joshua, meditate on the word day and night. Don't let there come into your life any compartmentalizing. The religious part and another part. It's important for us to grasp that. What steps do we take? What steps do you take this week to make sure that the truth of God's word doesn't lose its impact on your mind on Wednesday afternoon or Friday night or Thursday morning? This is a big part of how the influence of God's word comes about in any heart. Meditating on it day and night means this. Meditating on God's word day and night means I make a constant effort to build contextual bridges between what God's word says and the places where most of my life happens. More than anything else, meditating on God's word day and night means asking the right questions at the right times. How does this word of God that I've read a thousand times, different verses, different ways, heard in lessons and sermons and books and CDs, how does this word relate to, right now, this TV show that I'm watching? In other words, You don't leave the two unconnected. But while you're watching that TV show or that internet site or that career choice or the invitation of those friends to do this or that. How do I make the link between this and this? How do I bridge it? How do I bring this truth and pump it into this situation? And primarily the way that happens is when you're in the middle of something else other than studying God's Word, you ask the questions about God's Word and say, how does it relate to this? Yes, here's the job offer. Yes, there is more money. But if I take it, I know full well I'm never going to be here weekends and I'm not going to be in God's house at all. And if I bring God's Word to bear on this decision, how does it relate? Meditating. Asking questions. The bridge between God's Word, this is so important, the bridge between God's Word and your life doesn't just happen because you read God's Word. Everybody get that? The bridge between God's Word and your life doesn't just happen because you read God's Word. That's one end of the bridge. The bridge happens when you, in all sorts of situations, ask questions about the Word and bring it to apply to those situations. Joshua, meditate on it day and night. 3. The Word on his lips. Meditate on it day and night. Practice the Word. Do it. Be very careful to do it. One of the great features of Joshua's life is the way he carried this out so faithfully. Joshua 23:6. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Not turning aside, neither to the right hand nor to the left. This, those words I just read, 23:6, that's at the end of Joshua's life. And if you read the verse, unless you're very careful, they sound exactly the same as, almost exactly the same word for word as chapter 1. And what they say to me is this, Joshua, whatever strengths and weaknesses, Joshua stayed on message. The Lord spoke to Joshua and said, you be very careful to do all the law that I gave to Moses, and don't turn from it, on the right hand or the left. End of his life, Joshua speaks to the people. Here's what he says. You be very careful, don't turn from any of the law that God gave to Moses, not from the right hand nor the left. And you think, boy, Joshua, good job. Good job. He continues to urge the people to live their lives within the boundaries of God's Word. Don't turn from it, not to the right hand nor to the left. And notice in that, by the way, notice in that how deviation occurs from God's Word. I think we're meant to sense that God speaks to Joshua and he says, Joshua, don't make even slight adjustments. That's the picture I get. Turning just to your right hand or to your left. The way you'd, you know, driving your car and you got your hands on the wheel and you see a pothole and you just do this so you go around it. You know what I mean? Only in this case, it's like the Lord says to Joshua, don't even do that. Don't even do that. Have you ever been in a place, maybe you've been in a big city, you've been wandering, this happens to me, wandering around somewhere and you're not quite sure, directions, and Rainey will say, well, just ask. And of course, I'm going to ask. And so you just think, I'm pretty sure it's just, we're close. I'm pretty sure if we just do over here just a bit, and off you go wandering, only you're not seeing what you think you're supposed to see, and you go, well, wait a minute, I think it's just a couple blocks over this way. And you just make little deviations, and by the time the sun's going down and you haven't found what you're looking for, you recognize that what you did is you just made small adjustments until you're a mile off. Joshua, You be careful to do this word, and don't deviate, not to the right, not to the left. Don't go this way a bit, don't go that way a bit. And here's why that matters. I'm going to wrap up with this. You've got the last point in the notes. People come into my office a lot. Sometimes I know them, and sometimes I don't. As the church grows, lots of times someone will come in and they'll say, you know, I've been coming for a few months, you don't know me, I sit near the back here or there, and they'll tell me their story, and I don't know who they are. But as I listen, they'll finally come to a place where they talk about where their life is all messed up. And I'm not exaggerating. They'll sit in those little gray chairs, and I usually come out from around my desk, so I'm not sitting like behind a desk, and I sit close and I pull a chair up, and they'll sit there and they'll put their face in their hands, and lots of times sometimes they're weeping, and sometimes they're just, ugh, you know that, ugh. And here it is, Pastor Don. Here's what's gone wrong, and they'll talk about their situation now. And as I listen to them talk, I realize that the mess they're in now, that's just the manifestation of a whole bunch of things that they've told me about, where they just went just a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right. And can I tell you something that I know that 60% of you aren't going to believe me. But after almost 30 years of sitting in that office, let me tell you one of the first ways that lives get all messed up. Somewhere in that story, a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, one of the first things they did is they quit coming to church regularly. I've seen that 60% of the time. And it led to this, which led to that. And then they were two blocks over looking for it, and then they couldn't find it, and they went over here, and they wandered way far away. And now they've got a horrible situation, a desperate situation. But it's just the manifestation of little things where they went to the left and to the right. And oh, the wisdom of just saying, God, I'm not gonna deviate at all. I'll take care of the little things. And God says to Joshua, then you will have good success. I will look after your life, God says. You just keep your life on the track. And everyone said,